2 of the nightcap here on VSiN, the sports betting network. That's Matt Holt, who's staring at NFL draft odds on his mobile app there.
Yeah.
And I am Tim Murray. I am hoping that the Nats can close out the St. Louis Cardinals. We can get a little victory there. Our in-game bets on the Utah Jazz.
Oof.
Not looking so good, Matt.
No.
They are down 17 to the Wizards. What is happening in this world where the Wizards are...
And they're running them out off the court right now.
It is 19-point game right now with the Wizards over the Suns. Well, as they say...
Over the Jazz.
Oh, yeah, Jazz.
The number one record in the NBA is getting run off the court by the Washington Wizards.
Well, you win some and you lose some. The Phoenix Suns, on the other hand...
And Westbrook got another triple-double.
Yeah. The Phoenix Suns have 78 points in the first half against the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets are just awful. They're so bad, folks. And apparently, this Nats game never wants to end, so I will continue to stare at that game. So the Suns up 78-58. That one, 21 seconds to go in the second quarter. Hey, I have a little update on your Diamondbacks bet. There you go. You're alive.
Yeah, they're alive. Yeah.
A little alive there.
3-2 now.
Keep staring up. Keep staring. Hoping that Brad Hand can close this game out for me. Get me a little plus 135 winner on the Nats against the St. Louis Cardinals. But that game continues to trudge along. The Nuggets lead the Golden State Warriors 50-47 with 4 minutes to go in the second quarter. Steph Curry has 26 points, folks.
And we're in the second quarter.
26 of the 47 points for the Golden State Warriors have been scored by Steph Curry. His three-point prop has already hit.
He hit in the first quarter.
3-pointers hit in the first quarter. He hit 5 in the first quarter. And, man, Mr. Hand does not want to end this one for me. So it is now first and second for the Nats against the Cardinals. So he would never be an easy winner.
No,
we will see. But right now the Denver Nuggets with a 5-point lead. Taking a look at Nikola Jokic, who was expected to have a triple-double tonight, pretty close to on pace. 9 points, 6 assists, and 4 rebounds for Nikola Jokic. 52-49 right now with 3:15 and rolling left in the second quarter. I want to go back to this Utah Jazz and Washington Wizards game because this has been a domination by the Washington Wizards. And yes, Russell Westbrook, I believe this is his 9th triple-double in the last 10 games for the Wizards. He has 21 points, 14 rebounds, and 13 assists. At this point, Matt, when you look at those props that pop every day when the Wizards are playing at DraftKings, you just got to fire the minus money on triple-double now. As crazy as that sounds, he is a triple-double machine. In this month, the Wizards have played 7 games. He has 6 triple-doubles, and he is now a triple-double in 9 of their last 10 games, and they're still kicking here in the fourth quarter.
And you know how good the Jazz defense is, but yet the Washington Wizards are shooting 56% from the field tonight. Yeah.
So the Wizards have been one of those weird teams this year, Matt, where they've had some kind of inexplicable wins.
Yep.
They beat the Nets a couple of times when they were full strength earlier in the year. So they've kind of been a bizarre team this year. But, the Washington Wizards, just like we expected, only up 5.5. So we bet the 9 for the for the second half. That is not going to come home. They are going to take care of business. They lead by 14. Memphis up on the Chicago Bulls. That one late in the fourth quarter. Memphis has turned things around in that fourth quarter. And it looks like the Grizzlies, as a 2.5-point favorite, might have a chance to cover this one as they lead by 4. That's Matt Holt. I'm Tim Murray. We'll talk to Will Hill, Point Spread Weekly contributor, next right here on the Nightcap. We keep it rolling here on the Nightcap live from the Circus Sportsbook. I am checking in on my Nats as the closer has thrown 24 pitches in the ninth inning, which is
always...
He
hasn't given up any runs.
No, he has not. Knock on wood right now. 1-2 count. So hoping that my Nats bet can come home. The Denver Nuggets with a 54-51 lead. Both Matt and I have a piece on the Nuggets. I just need a win. You need them to cover the 5, which went off at 5.5. Nuggets are visiting the Golden State Warriors. Jamal Murray was a last-second addition, but he is has he returned to the floor since we saw him walk to the locker room?
Don't think so.
Yeah, so we will keep a close eye on that. But the Warriors hanging in there. It's a 54-54 game. Steph Curry, 28 points. No big deal. Just 28.
Second quarter.
Just 28 points. His over-under was 31.5, and it's the second quarter. So you are probably feeling in pretty good shape when it comes to any prop bets that you might have played. If you played over on threes, that already cashed, folks. Jamal Murray's at the free throw line, so he is indeed back in the game. All right, let's get to our next guest, and I'm looking forward to having him. First time we've had him on the show, but a big fan of his work here at VSiN in Point Spread Weekly, contributes quite often, especially you'll see him on the Lombardi line a lot. It is William Hill at Not The Will Hill on Twitter, and he's kind of all over the place, Matt. He'll bet a little bit of everything, but we've been talking a lot of NFL draft, Will, and I want to get into some NFL futures that you've been looking at. I haven't fully jumped in on the futures market yet or win totals, which is going to be a fascinating discussion this year, Matt, because of the 17th game. But, Will, I know you have a couple futures plays that you're already locked in on. So what do you got for us when it comes to the NFL?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. I hope everything's okay with the 3 or 4 guys who obviously canceled and you had to have me on. So I hope everything's all right with them. I don't know. Where do you want to go here? I'm on the Vikings here. That's one I dipped my toe in. I just think, look, if you look with Zimmer, there's a pattern here. 2015, they win the division, should have won a playoff game. Walsh misses the kick. 2017, they win the division, win a playoff game. 2019, they win 10 games, win a playoff game. The years in between have been bad. You could say it's a coincidence, but I just think it's not, because they're kind of a fringe team between being pretty good, really good. You know, they're on the fence, and it's schedule-based. You know, when they have a good season, they face a tougher schedule and they regress, and vice versa. And I just think last year they were a victim of circumstances. I mean, from what everyone says, I'm not an X and O guy, but, you know, Zimmer runs a complex scheme. They had a younger team, 2 young corners. The defensive line was really decimated. They lost Hunter. Pierce opted out. You know, a lot of injuries. So I think they'll bounce back. They lost the crowd. I mean, that's a really vocal home crowd. So I think a lot went wrong last year. I think next year they'll bounce back. And if you look at the landscape of the NFC, I mean, who do you really love? I mean, the Packers, their window might have closed. They're going to have a quarterback who's going to be 38 by season's end. You know, Breeze retires. I mean, Tampa, yeah, they won the Super Bowl. They easily could have lost in the second round. So kind of a wide open NFC. I think Zimmer's a good coach. He puts a good product on the field. And, you know, knowing him, the way they got pushed around defense last year, he's going to come into the season. They'll probably spend a high pick on a defensive player. And, you know, knowing him, he's going to say, I don't care if we lose every game. We're not getting pushed around on defense. They'll be better on defense. And look, they got a trio of players you really like on offense. I mean, Dealing, Cook, Jefferson. I mean, those are 3 really good players. You know, Cousins is vanilla ice cream. He doesn't get you excited, but I mean, they should be a good team. You know, 11-5, 12. I mean, the 17 game schedule is throwing me off. So yeah. I don't know, 12-5, 11-6. They should bounce back and be a pretty good team.
Yeah, and once again, when you look at to your point, that 17th game, the NFC North is playing the AFC West. So the Packers are playing the Chiefs. The Bears get the Raiders, who ended up second. So the Vikings playing the Chargers could be a challenge. You know, Will, the NFC East, whether you love it or hate it, it's always fascinating because, you know, the Dallas Cowboys are going to be the talk of the town. They finished third in that division. So for them, when you look at how you staggered that schedule, it could be, you know, advantageous. I believe, if my memory serves me correct, I think it is the AFC East and the NFC East in that 17th game. So Washington gets Buffalo, and Dallas will get New England, which I'm sure TV people absolutely love. But any thoughts on what to expect this year in the NFC East? Because it is a revolving door every single year of who's going to come out of that division.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think, you know, for all of Dallas's issues last year on defense, if Dak stays healthy, they probably win that division by 2+ games. I mean, they were trying to outscore everybody early in the year. I think Washington will be everybody's little darling team. I think I've seen some movement on that. They were plus 300, plus 350, you know, to win the division as an opener. I've seen that down to plus 200, plus 220 in some spots. It'll be interesting to see Fitzpatrick on a good team. You know, he's been in the league almost 20 years, never made the playoffs. So he'll have a good defense. That'll be everyone's, you know, kind of sleeper pick to win the division. Eagles in a state of transition. Giants, you don't really know what you have with Jones. So if I were to take a stab on anybody, it'd probably be Washington at plus money.
You know, one of the interesting draft props as we look ahead to the NFL draft, which was sort of the, you know, to your point, Tim, earlier, one of the big betting events of the year last year,
because so
while it took place, there were no other sports being played. And because of what happened last year, we're seeing that the amount of activity already being wagered on the draft really start to heat up. Normally, the prop on offensive players versus defensive players is about 50-50, and it's usually about 15.5, 16.5 toward the offense where they shade it. But I'm seeing books now, including William Hill, who have 18.5 toward the offense, with the offense shaded toward like the minus 140 side. At the end of the day, after you get outside the quarterbacks, which get all the coverage around here, there's going to be a lot of defensive players taken. Do you think because of the expectation that there's going to be five quarterbacks drafted in the first round, that prop itself, offensive players versus defensive players, has suddenly been thrown out of whack, and there's probably some value on the defense here?
Yeah, it could be. That's a really good point. The only one I've really looked at so far, and I'll probably write about it this week, is the running backs. I think there's some 1.5s out there, and I'm looking at the under, just the direction of the league. It's a passing league. It's about the quarterback. It's about playmakers. It's about getting to the passer. I think we saw one go last year in the first round, and that was the last pick of the first round with Edwards-Helaire. So I just think, you know, under there might be a good play on the running backs.
Yeah, the running backs this year, too, it is that'll be an interesting one to look at, because I think, as we saw last year, Edwards-Helaire was not the favorite to be that first running back selected. So as you get to the later half of that first round or early second round, it's more scheme specific of how these running backs play and fit specific schemes, to Will's point. About, you know, pass catchers. That's what Clyde Edwards-Helaire
was. Yeah, we've seen Kamara go in the second round. Maybe third round. We've seen Cook go in the second round. You know, Akers last year had a good year going in the second round. So you can get these backs almost anywhere in the draft, as we've seen.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, as great as Saquon Barkley is, I had a buddy of mine, actually. It's funny now, because I crushed the Giants are drafting Saquon Barkley, but Sam Darnold didn't really work out with the Jets, so I don't know what they should have done in that spot, as we talked to William Hill. I want to go back to just the NFL season, because I know you have some plays, too, heading into tomorrow that we want to jump in on. But I remember you last year tweeting quite a bit about the Coach of the Year market, which I loved, because as the year goes on, I feel like that's one of the more fun futures markets to be a part of, because it's always fluctuating throughout the year. So have you got a play yet on the Coach of the Year market?
I sure do. Look, this is the coach of the team that improves the most. So you could kind of scratch some of these guys off the list right away. You know, Andy Reid's not going to win the award. LaFleur, Tomlin, anybody that made the playoffs is going to have a hard time winning the award. It's about not making the playoffs last year, then making it this year. So I look at Staley for the Chargers. Now, look, I think it's going to be everybody's kind of fun niche team. They're going to bounce back probably. 16 games the last 2 years, they've lost one score game. So they're ripe with talent. They'll get Derwin James back. Herbert should pop in the second year. And I just think that fits the narrative. I mean, he's a guy. This guy was coaching the D-backs for John Carroll 4 or 5 years ago. Young guy, actually a cancer survivor. So all the great narrative stories that go with it should get the Chargers back into the playoffs, you know, similar to the Vikings, where I think they could go 11-6, 12-5, you know, tough to get ahead of the Chiefs and win that division. But if you win 11, 12 games, it doesn't matter if you win the division. You know, we saw Stefanski go 11-5, win a wild card and you know, win the award last year. So I'm looking at Staley. I think that's a good play. You know, it's a niche market, so the prices vary on that. I'm not sure if you guys have a price on that. Yeah, I've seen, you know, 15-1, 18-1, but that's definitely one I'm going to be looking to play.
You know, we were talking about free agency a few weeks ago and how the New England Patriots uncharacteristically spent all this money in free agency and acquired a vast array of players, including, you know, arguably the two top tight ends in free agency. You know, what do you make of this New England Patriots team? Are they going to be able to challenge the Buffalo Bills this year for the AFC East, or was all that move sort of a smokescreen to the fact that this team's sort of in a rebuild?
Yeah, I mean, I like the number at the Patriots plus 400 just because it's Belichick. You know, you figure they'll regroup. They'll add some juice to the offense. It's hard to get that Monday night game late in the year against Buffalo out of your head because, I mean, Buffalo just steamrolled them where it basically looked like the varsity versus the JV, and it was, you know, they weren't very competitive. But it wasn't that long ago that, you know, in the rain or the snow, whatever it was, the Patriots were driving to tie that game or win that game, you know, late in Buffalo. So, you know, if Allen rolls an ankle, misses 3-4 weeks, who knows? The Patriots could be right in there. I think there is some value at plus 400. We have seen these teams where you think, look, they make a step from 1 year to the next. We assume they're going to go up the third year. I mean, look at the Ravens a couple years ago. They went 14-2, a young team. Sometimes you take a step forward and then you take a step back. And so I could see the Patriots competing. I trust Belichick, obviously. I think they'll have a big chip on their shoulder, not only after having a bad year, but seeing Brady do what he does. I don't care what anybody says. That's going to motivate him. You know, he is not going to want to have two bad years in a row and have everyone saying it was all Brady and it was none of Belichick. So I do think there's some value at plus 400. It would probably take, you know, a down year or Allen to miss a couple of games, but I could see the Patriots bouncing back and at least being a wild card.
Talking to William Hill at Not The Will Hill on Twitter, contributor to Point Spread Weekly. So make sure to check that out each and every week. All right, what do you got for us tomorrow, Will? We were... You know, I'm liking the way our week has started. Obviously, mm-hmm. The Jazz, they're making a little comeback here. You know, I'll tell you what would be best, overtime.
Overtime.
We would love some overtime in this game. But the Nats come home for me. You've got, what do we got? You've got the Nuggets. They're up by 5 at the half. I got a money line parlay. We both came home with the Knicks. So let's keep it rolling here, Will. What do you got for us tomorrow?
Hang on. Why are we talking overtime in the Wizards game?
It's one.
Is that game getting close?
It's 114-108 now. We both laid 9 for the second half, so we need overtime to have any chance.
Nobody probably cares, but I have the Wizards over 28.5. I played it as soon as they got Westbrook. Then I played under 33.5 like a few weeks later. So I'm hoping for a middle. I need 9 and 10, I think, from the Wizards from down the stretch. So I can't believe they're winning this game. I didn't even check the score because I assumed they were losing.
Well, they were up 109-90.
Yeah,
they were up 109-90 in the fourth quarter.
You could figure out the NBA, forget it. I mean, these scores are just ridiculous from night to night. I mean, the Lakers blowing out the Nets the other night. It's crazy.
And then, I mean, that's why we both went on the Knicks today, Will. I don't bet. I'm not JVT. I don't bet, you know, on night-to-night basis, but I felt like the Knicks were a great spot.
Yeah.
People were going to love the Lakers tonight after what we saw on Saturday. You still have to remember, this is a wounded team, so that's why we both played the Knicks. But, this has been surprising. But overtime would be nice. 114-108 Wizards with that 6-point lead right now over the Jazz.
Yeah, if you could figure out the Wizards, if you could figure out the NBA, God bless you, because it is crazy. They're a weird team. It's just been a weird year. And every year in the NBA, the last month is kind of crazy. Teams tanking for draft picks. The interesting thing down the stretch is going to be, I think these West teams are going to try to avoid the Lakers. But the thing is, we don't know what seed the Lakers are going to be. Maybe they're a 5, maybe they're a 6. So it's going to be, there's going to be some gamesmanship with that, which will be an interesting thing to watch down the stretch.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
As far as a play, as far as a play tomorrow, I like the under in the Brewers Cubs. I just think great pitching matchup. Woodruff is a guy I actually have a Cy Young ticket on it. I think at 25-1, 100 miles an hour, misses bats, keeps the ball on the ground. Great stuff. Hendricks is just the opposite. Doesn't even break 90, but he's like a scientist. He's like a modern day Maddox where he just changes speeds, moves the ball around. They pitched against each other Wednesday. It was a 1-0 game late. So I like the under there. Brewers actually have a pretty good bullpen. You know, some of these bullpens, you got to hold your breath with. The Brewers actually have a pretty good one with Hader and Devin Williams. So mm-hmm. I'm going to play the under there.
You know, Will, I'm curious your mindset too, because I know you like to bet baseball on a pretty regular basis. And a bunch of people I've talked to, Jeff Parlson's studio and some others, if you like the under, they like to focus more towards that first 5 under where you know it's going to be the starting pitchers. You're not having to worry about any as you mentioned, you know, bullpen issues. So how much do you like to focus on the first 5s, or do you still roll with the full game?
Yeah, I'll split it up, especially in the National League games, because you get that first 5 where the pitchers bat. Later in the games, they pinch hit for them, and, you know, as an underbetter, it's so nice to not have that DH anymore. It's just, I'm sure, as Maddie knows, as somebody who made the lines, they built it into the line, but it's just so comforting as an underbetter. You know, two on, two out, and you see the pitcher stroll up and strike out on three pitches. It makes you feel good. It's just a relaxing feeling.
It's like that comforting blanket.
Yeah, that's
like,
it.
Oh, it really is.
Yes.
Snuggy.
He's got to try to hit here. He's not going to try to bunt. Hey, Will, this was great, man. Appreciate it. And I promise, it was only two people who canceled. It wasn't three or four.
Over-under was 3.5, and I had the over. So there was one year where Tyrod Taylor made the Pro Bowl because like 8 quarterbacks dropped out. So I'm like the Tyrod Taylor of this show. So I appreciate you guys having me on. You guys do a great job. Thank you.
Thanks, Will. We'll have Will Hahn more at Not The Will Hill on Twitter. He's always on the Lombardi line. Always they work well together. So some good stuff there. Yeah, I need to start firing on some. That is the second lowest total on the board tomorrow. Cubs and Brewers right now sitting at 7.5. Some places juiced a little bit to the over, but the lowest total you have is a 7 in St. Louis tomorrow with Washington and the Cardinals. And by the way, Washington got their vaccine today, so they might be a little woozy tomorrow. Keep that in mind. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. We keep it rolling. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. Matt Holt, Tim Murray with you. Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus will join us in about a half hour. Top of the next hour, we'll get his thoughts on the quarterback market for the NFL draft. We'll jump back into some NFL draft discussion as well. There's been some steam, and I don't really understand it, but I think people are just getting bored of talking about the big five quarterbacks. So now, here comes Davis Mills. Well, you know, Davis Mills could get himself. I hope this talk continues, because we'll get into it later on in this hour. But I'll just, a little tease. Keep talking about Davis Mills. Do it. Just keep talking about him, because he ain't getting drafted in the first round. Let's get you updated on some games. And the A's and Diamondbacks. Madison Bumgarner's getting paid a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Is not super effective.
Is an ERA in double digits not good?
Not ideal.
Oh.
Not ideal. So that is where we stand. I don't think we're getting there. But crazier things have happened. It is 121-115 with 31 seconds to go in Salt Lake City. The Wizards lead the Jazz. Now, it's a Hail Mary. But if we could get overtime, I actually like our spot.
Yes, if we get overtime, I like it too.
Because we, once again, we laid 9 at the half when Utah trailed by 5. So we need Utah to win by more than 4. They're down 6 with 31 seconds left. You might think it's over unless we get overtime.
That's right.
Maybe we could get there if we get overtime. Wishful thinking, but we will see ultimately what happens. Russell Westbrook can't shoot free throws. Now, he's actually been shooting from the free throw line pretty well tonight. He's 9 of 11. He does have yet another triple-double. So not looking great. Looks like it's going to be a loser for us, but we will see. Second half underway in the Bay Area with Denver up 63-58. They led by 3 at the half. You mentioned that you liked the second half situation for the Denver Nuggets. Did you ultimately get down on it?
No, I didn't get down, but I do like our spot. You know, we both took Denver pregame, and I mean, Golden State just shot lights out from 3-point range. They took over 65% of their shots in the first half from 3-point range and made half of them, and that's probably not going to continue all game. And the fact that even though they shot lights out from 3-point range, they were losing, makes me feel like Denver is probably in a pretty good spot. Although, as I say that, Golden State comes out and gets a dunk.
Steph Curry already has 30 points. He has half of the team. I think he had 30 at half.
At halftime.
Yeah.
30 at half.
His over-under tonight, as you see on the graphic, 31 and a half. He had 30 at halftime. This was a night for Steph Curry. Now, if you played Steph Curry, now there are no props on rebounds and assists. His points, rebounds, assists was 41 and a half. You might get it just solely on points. You do have a couple rebounds and two assists to work with. So right now you're sitting at points, rebounds, assists for Steph Curry at 35. So you're actually in decent shape for Steph Curry, considering he was incredibly hot in that first half and is 2 points away from hitting his over. Hit his over on three-pointers in the first quarter.
In the first quarter. Man, did he come out on fire tonight.
Five threes in the first quarter. He's now the leading scorer in Warriors history. This game got a lot closer, and we might be on a little cover watch. Let me check the line here for for New Orleans and Sacramento. I think you're okay.
Yeah, it went all the way down to two.
Yeah, late. There was late steam. So yeah. If you got in early on New Orleans, you got a bad number. You're sweating a little bit. It's 113-107.
They were up by 20.
De'Aaron Fox has 43.
Wow.
He has 43 tonight. Zion and Brandon Ingram, both north of 30. Zion, 30 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. And Brandon Ingram has 34 points. 114-107, the Pelicans with that lead. And a quick check on the Phoenix Suns, who had 80 points at halftime, a lead by 16 over Houston, 88-72. Those pesky Rockets right now battling back in the third quarter, Matt.
Yeah, Christian Wood with 21 for the Rockets in a losing effort. Jay Crowder, 26 points tonight for the Phoenix Suns. Who saw that coming?
Devin Booker with 13, Chris Paul 8 points and 7 assists. We're down 4, 121-117. Bradley Beal's at the free throw line. I don't love our chances.
No.
I don't love our chances. But, hey, we'll see what happens. More to come on the nightcap, including just an awful ending to a game last night in the NL East. We'll discuss that. The spring sports betting action is just getting started. Our VSiN experts are covering early season baseball trends, NHL and NBA playoff races. Plus, we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft. We've got all the tools to make the most of every bet, including our 24/7 video coverage, odds and analysis for every game on VSiN.com, our daily members-only best bet emails, and in-depth coverage of every major event in Point Spread Weekly. The weather and the betting action heating up, and now is the time to sign up for your VSiN 10-day free trial at VSiN.com/subscribe. It is the nightcap here on VSiN. More NFL draft talk coming up in about 10 minutes. Also, Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus, top of the hour as well. Still alive, Matt.
Yeah.
Just barely. Bradley Beal did make both free throws, so it's 123-119. The Wizards with a 4-point lead over the Jazz. Pre-flop, the Utah Jazz were a 11-point favorite here at Circa. So we did not bet this pre-flop. We bet it at halftime. Wizards had a 5-point lead. We laid 9 for the remainder of the game, which includes overtime if we get there.
Yep.
And that's what we're hoping for right now. So we will see. Not likely, but you never know. Steph Curry just hit another 3.
Unbelievable. 35.7 3-pointers already for Steph.
It is remarkable what we are seeing from Steph Curry here tonight.
And he just went up and got that rebound amongst all the trees.
It is. We'll see if the Nuggets can win this game. I need just an outright win. You need it by 5. So we'll see if it ultimately can come home. While we wait on some of these hoops games to figure themselves out, the Phoenix Suns, their lead, their massive lead, is now in cover territory, cover issue here. As Phoenix was laying 12, it's now 94-82 in Phoenix against the Houston Rockets. Last night, there was quite the controversial play, and it led to a refund at DraftKings Sportsbook. So the Phillies beat the Braves last night, Matt, 7-6, and there was a play at the plate where Travis d'Arnaud was at home. The slide came in. They called him safe, but when you looked at the review, it showed that the runner did not touch home plate.
Correct.
They went to review. They upheld the call, and it's pretty surprising. And we've got a quote here. This was from Drew Smiley. Everyone saw it. Everyone knows it. For MLB not to overturn that, it's embarrassing. Why even have replay if you won't overturn that? I think everybody feels that way. There's five different angles. It's clear he didn't touch the plate. Now, I have been a big champion for replay because it gets things right. I don't know how you missed this call. It's embarrassing, ultimately, that this did not come home. But to tie it...
Well, why have replay if...
If it doesn't get it right.
Yes.
And why have replay when there are certain things that can't be replayed?
Yeah.
And that's going down a whole different road. But it leads us to what you do as a sports book and what this means for Major League Baseball. Now... DraftKings had the bad bet refund as right there. So if you bet the bet Braves on the money line, you got your money refunded. But, you know, Aaron Oster, our producer, posed an interesting question when we were talking, prior to the show, is a lot of these baseball teams, and I am a big believer that baseball needs to embrace, put their arms around gambling. But when you have calls like this, there's going to be ramifications. So, it's that fine line. We always talk about it. It's that fine line of what you do if you're a sport, if you're a sport and want to get it involved with legalized sports gambling. So, plays like this, Matt, how much does this hurt the possibility of Major League Baseball or any sport when you have controversial calls jumping full in on gambling?
Well, I can say this for MLB. I know many of those folks personally that they are all in on gambling. Now it's just trying to get the product to meet their expectations. They want to be all in. They have these great hopes. Baseball is the one American sport whose pace and player stat-driven game really are great for in-play wagering. Yep. And in-play prop wagering. And we're not there yet, but people have to feel comfortable that all the games are on the up and up. And when a play that clear is blown, then bettors lose confidence. If you're on the losing side of it, you lose confidence that it is all on the up and up. And MLB is going to have some work to do to get those kind of things done.
Yeah.
The other side of it, though, is MLB's biggest problem to gamblers is nobody likes four-hour games.
Right.
So they're trying to speed the game up a little bit, but at the same time... we want them to get every call right. Well, what do we want? Do we want every call right, or do we want 2 hour and 40 minute games? And, we don't want 3.5 hour games, but we want every call right. It's tricky.
Yeah, my biggest thing, and I think it was when Adam Hill was filling in a couple weeks ago and we were talking about it. I'm a baseball enthusiast. I love baseball. I will go to a baseball game. It doesn't matter if it's 3.5 hours, 4 hours. It doesn't matter to me. I love the game. I love this, the sweet science, all that. That said, I do recognize there's a massive issue, and the changes, the tweaks to me have been, in my opinion, idiotic. A reliever to have to face three batters unless an inning ends.
Yeah.
Baseball to me. That's not enticing younger fans to go, well, the reliever has to face three batters? No, sign me up.
Yeah.
But I think the in-game aspect of baseball betting, and I don't know how you perfectly do it, Matt, but what I've always thought is you get a group of buddies out there with their apps, they're drinking a beer and betting on who's going to get the next hit for 5-10 bucks. That's where I think it would be enjoyable, and I think where baseball could really thrive with the younger crowd. It's not you know, eliminating a pitcher batting. It's involving these younger folks and getting them in and allowing them to legally gamble in games on their mobile app.
Correct, 100%. That's what you want. And baseball actually has the pace of play
right.
that could allow you to bet better by better yeah. as these things happen.
And that's where I think it would be absolutely, pun intended, an absolute home run. I think it would be perfect for baseball. So we'll see. We'll see what ultimately happens. Funny, I tweeted out that video and I saw, well, you know, the Black Sox scandal. That happened 100 years ago.
Yeah.
I think we can move
1919,
on.
1919,
we're literally. We're okay from we can move past the Black Sox scandal 100 years ago. We'll get to quarterbacks. We'll go in the NFL draft. Also take a look at some other draft props. Coming up next, it is the Nightcap here on VSiN. When you're hiring, there's no luxury of time. So instead of waiting for people to see your sponsored post, invite them to apply. More at Indeed.com/credit. It is the Nightcap. We're keeping an eye on Denver and Golden State. How about the Warriors, man? They're red hot right now. Up 82-76 are the Golden State Warriors. And Steph Curry, just with 40.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Unbelievable.
8 threes tonight for Steph Curry. He's 8 for 12 from beyond the arc, 8 for 8 from the free throw line, 12 of 17 from the field. Over on anything that you bet. Points, obviously. Three-pointers, yep. PRA, points, rebounds, assists, you betcha. He's done that pretty much with just points themselves.
Yep.
And it's so funny how this always works out. Because I played this money line parlay with two road teams, which is kind of a no-no.
Two road favorites.
The first one was the one that I was most nervous about. And the market actually went against me when I initially met this bet, which was Philadelphia at Dallas tonight. Philadelphia smashed Dallas.
Yeah.
113-95. They win it comfortably. And just not even an issue. Joel Embiid goes for 36 points, 7 rebounds, a great performance there from the Philadelphia 76ers. And now all I need is the Denver Nuggets, who got great news.
Oh my God, Steph.
I mean, at this point, you just kind of shrug your shoulders and say, well, I got Steph'd.
Yeah.
We got Steph.
9 three-pointers already for Steph.
He got 43 points.
Yes.
And Michael Porter Jr. is doing his best to try to keep this thing close. Steph Curry came out, hit 5 three-pointers in the first quarter.
I know.
And this is just his night. He is unstoppable. And that's what's going to be so fun, Matt, if this Golden State Warriors team, let's say they secure the 8 seed. Now, remember, they're right now the 10th seed, and they have work to do to get even higher. Now, 7 through 10 make the postseason in the play-in tournament. For those of you who do not know the format, 7 plays 8, winner makes the playoffs and gets the 7 seed. Then the loser of that game gets the winner of the 9-10 game. So 9-10 play each other, winner moves on to play the loser of the 7-8 game. Right now, Golden State is the 10th seed, but only a half game ahead of New Orleans.
Yep.
They gotta keep pace here, and they're gonna need Steph Curry to do what he's doing right now, which is being superhuman. By the way, he only needed 19 points tonight to become the all-time leader in points in Warriors history. He's got 41. So he's
he's 43.
43. I'm sorry. There's so many points being scored
and
by
he's
Steph
going
Curry
to the line. It's about to be 45.
Where he doesn't miss ever.
Yeah.
So it has been unbelievable.
He's going to put up 50 plus tonight. Easy.
It's the third quarter.
And double digit 3-pointers.
And this is a vintage MVP Steph Curry performance tonight. He has 45 points. He has 9 three-pointers. He's 10 for 10 from the line. This is this is a lot of fun to watch. I wish I didn't have a bet on the other side.
Me too.
It'd be a lot more enjoyable to enjoy what Steph Curry is doing tonight. I mean, it still is to an extent. And Draymond Green on his assists, you would think he would be well over his assists, Matt, but he's actually got some work to do. He's got 7 assists. He needs just 2 to get there. But he also has 7 rebounds. Getting close to a triple-double is Draymond Green. So he's over on rebounds. He's got 16 points. Draymond, you know it's your night when Draymond Green has hit 2 threes.
Yes.
Draymond Green's hit 2 threes. Kent Bazemore has hit 3 threes. This Warriors team is 16 for 33 as a team right now. It's an 8-point game, 89-81.
With as many threes as they take, if they're making half of them, you can't beat them.
It's challenging. And just taking a look at this graphic, Draymond Green is getting close to a triple-double, and he is at plus 850. We need Nikola Jokic to start.
He keeps popping threes, and he's not making them.
Yeah, he's 1 for 5 now. So we need the MVP and Nikola Jokic to do some things. He just blocked Steph Curry at the rim, so maybe that will help. So, still got some game left.
Yeah, still not even the fourth quarter yet.
Not throwing away my ticket because, well, there'd be no reason to. Might as well keep it.
Yes.
As Nikola Jokic is doing a little hook in the lane, and now they're getting a little feisty. So this will keep us entertained in the final hour of the show. We hit on earlier about Justin Fields. Justin Fields is going to be a first-round pick. There's almost no denying that. You know, it's funny, Matt, because I would say about a month ago, the over-under on quarterbacks was 4.5.
Yeah.
And it was juiced heavily to the under. To the over. Beg your pardon. Because it was felt like Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, and Trevor Lawrence were all going. At that time, there was questions about would Mac Jones be a first-round pick.
Yep. That was the lingering one.
Not anymore. He's going in the first round, you would think. Now, DraftKings has put up over under 5.5 quarterbacks, heavily juiced to the under, meaning that 5 quarterbacks will get drafted or less. Minus $4. And what I teased a little bit earlier was, keep this Davis Mills talk going. Stanford quarterback Davis Mills. I get the intrigue. It was funny. I was on a buddy of mine's podcast a couple weeks ago, and he said, who's the 6th best quarterback? That Davis Mills? I don't know. I mean, I'm not a big Kellen Mond guy. Kyle Trask out of Florida. Some people like him. But it seems like right now, the way the wind is blowing, Matt, it's Davis Mills out of Stanford. I hope this talk keeps going. And JVT even kind of alluded to, he loves betting the under quarterback props, because I think right now we're a couple weeks away from the NFL draft and we're bored talking about, we don't even talk about Trevor Lawrence because he's the number, we know he's going 1.
Yeah.
And we don't even talk about Zach Wilson because we know he's going 2.
Yeah.
The talk is about 3. And then, you know, where will Justin Fields drop? I feel like that was almost, I won't say media created, because they have to, I won't say they have to, but I trust in these analysts enough that they've gotten some information from folks in the league that whether it's a smokescreen or something, or one or two teams don't like him, but we've seen that drop of Justin Fields.
But then, and the odds makers are really saying that Mac Jones is the 3rd pick.
Right now.
Minus 225 to minus 300. And I'll say this. The one thing I do tend to trust in these situations is the odds makers. When there's real money at stake, they tend to be pretty accurate.
Well, I also think there's a reason that Circa, Westgate, other spots in town. Now, BetMGM has them up. William Hill has them up. So there are shops in Vegas.
Yeah.
But there are shops that saying, no, I'm not going to put them up yet. Because there's so much volatility in this market. I mean, I know your days of being behind the counter are in the past, but what would you do? When would you put these props up?
I'd have them up
already.
Just because at the end of the day, you have to understand that the U.S. market right now, and most of these books, even Circa, they have a book in Colorado. Mm-hmm. You're servicing multiple states, and thus part of your response. Look at Steph again for three. Bam.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. Is he having a night? Part of your responsibility is running a business is to get clients.
Yeah.
And you have to go out there and find a way to attract clients. And let's face it, when March Madness ends, now that the Masters is over, while baseball and NBA and NHL fill a void on a night-to-night basis, they're not an attractor and everybody has them. Everyone has the daily baseball and NHL. So what can you do to differentiate and try to get people coming to your shop? Oh, my God, he just nailed another one.
Did he really?
Yes. Wow. Golden State is suddenly up 14, and Steph Curry has 51 points. Oh, my gosh. This game has gone insane. Steph has gone completely insane. Oh, and they just turned the ball over again. So I think I would put him up. But you can also put them up and put them up with low limits.
Right.
But Circa really prides themselves in a lot of these books and the limits they take. So they don't want to put things up where they're only going to take $200 or $300 or less than $500. And some of the books that have them up take pretty low limits on them. So the question is, what's your strategy? What's your whole corporate strategy to try to attract new clients?
Davis Mills started 11 games in his college career.
Yeah, I don't get the Davis Mills.
I think he's an intriguing prospect. And as you look at, we'll put up the draft order here. The Saints, they need a quarterback. The Steelers need a quarterback. The Patriots need a quarterback. They're higher up. So there are teams in the back half of the draft that need a quarterback. I just think this is a much to do about, I wouldn't say nothing. I think Davis Mills, he could be the sixth quarterback selected.
Could
I think
be.
It's possible.
Yes.
A second or third round pick. But it does feel like we're falling into those, I wouldn't say dog days. But we're getting a little long in the tooth of, we've talked about the same quarterback since the season ended. Now, here we are, and let's bring someone else up. We haven't mentioned this name all that much. So I'm curious to get the thoughts from Eric Eager. Pro Football Focus just tweeted out a video of Justin Fields just throwing an absolute dime in the Sugar Bowl against Clemson earlier this year. Man, Justin Fields is so going to be number three. Need to cash that ticket. Wonder if Eric Eager agrees. I just need a break because I got to stop watching Steph Curry hit threes. This is out of control. It's the Nightcap here on VSiN.